Fairy tales at the Astrodome. I dropped out of TSU. Where did I go wrong? Fake diamonds on my neck. I had my mind on chrome. Air Yeezy number one. Baby mama back home. I thought, bless her heart, it wasn't her fault. She had got caught up in the Texas two-step. I lost, I fell, I cried. Then got right back on my feet. It didn't take long to overcome with all my dreams in my reach. The house burned, the spouse burned.
Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. 512 Friday edition of Ball Don't Lie. We play jams and songs from local bands and artists. Very talented people that you can hear live here in the ATX. I like this artist, and they're giving some love to H-Town. Who is this?
This is DZ Brown.
DZ Brown. Where's DZ Brown from? He's from H-Town?
I mean, he lives here. I think he lives out in Maine or something, too. But he's, you know, we've been around the scene. But he's doing a big party tonight at Hotel Vegas.
Man, I like his style.
I know he's worked a lot with Chris Bosh here in town.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris Bosh come in and produce some stuff, so...
And is it all hip hop?
Yes.
Okay. I like his style though. That's nice. Give some shout outs to H-Town, but I like his lyrical cadence, if you will.
Yeah.
Right. It's pretty
smooth.
It's pretty unique. All right. 512 Friday continues right here on Ball Don't Lie. Thank you guys for all your participation on the Specs Text line. Been a obviously a day with a lot of news breaking. Of course, the biggest of that news being that Quinn Ewers has been named as the starting quarterback at the University of Texas. So we talked about that, and I'm happy that didn't happen yesterday. Patrick pointed out that I missed the last 3 days.
Oh, my gosh.
It could have happened yesterday because Sark spoke to the media, and it could have happened. So several conspiracy theories as to why it happened today. There's also a report, Harge, and I think that at least not a report, maybe rumors. I should say rumors.
For rumors.
Rumors and reports, very different. Rumors that the reason that may have the layout and the rollout of the information may have happened the way it did is because they basically may have told members of the team, and then it was going to leak out anyway, and decided, all right, it's going to leak out. We got to put it out there so that we at least can control some of it. It's going to make us look, it'll make us look a little bit less or competent in terms of our media relations, all that kind of stuff.
And especially because players were the ones that were available today. So good, that might have been perfect.
And the media takes that personally sometimes when you say it breaks somewhere else.
Yes.
Or it breaks via another source. And they're like, dude, you just talked to us.
Right.
You couldn't have told us. So I got a job. I got an editor. I got a boss who's like, hey, what's up with the quarterback? We want to print a story about this. And you could have just said, hey, guys, it's going to be
I'm paying for parking downstairs.
Yeah, this is what we got. Yeah.
So
I'm trying not to get told, man.
Yeah. So that's a good point. So it could have been some of that, too. Obviously, people like to have fun with conspiracy theories, and I'll step out on the grassy knoll there with you. We've been talking about that all day. I did promise to give my take on airline travel, so I'll do that really quickly here before we talk Cowboys and Texans. I'll just say this. Here's my take on what the – can you remember the airport used to be way, way back in the day?
Yeah.
Like, airline travel used to be so luxurious experience. Like, they was trying to be, like, luxurious back in the day. That is not the case anymore. And now your experience in the airport is very different. And I think it's a shared misery among Americans. So it's not something I think that is exclusive or special to one group or another. Everybody's miserable at the airport, right? Everybody's miserable. Everybody's in a bad mood. And I kind of have two sayings now about the airport. Remember the old saying, the world is a ghetto? Remember that saying?
Oh, yeah.
The world is a ghetto.
There was a song that
saying.
Was part
yeah,
about that.
Yeah, exactly.
The ghetto.
Yeah, exactly. That's the right. World is a ghetto. Yeah. We won't get into the symbolism of that saying. But I have my saying now is the world is an airport. Remember, we used to go to the airport, everything was really expensive, and you expected it. You expected to walk to the airport.
Yeah, you were prepared for it.
You were prepared for inflation. Yep. Walk through the airport doors, everything's four or five times the price of what it is in the regular
world. That's
why
you eat before you get there, and you drink before you get there, too.
Boom, exactly, because everybody says that's the way it is.
Yep.
But now with inflation, basically everything outside of the airport is airport prices.
Yep.
Airport prices and regular world prices are the same prices now. I feel like that, right? I feel like people are in a crotchier mood. I feel like people are in a bad mood these days outside the airport. Everybody used to be in a bad mood when they went to the airport. It's the airport.
Yep.
Why would you be in a good mood?
Why do I got to be there so early,
I
got to
be
man.
There. I got to be there 2 hours early, take my shoes off, take my belt off, my butt naked, basically.
Yep.
All right,
I'm with you.
Then somebody wants to fill me up because of some scan that went wrong. And now he's like, can I touch you there? I'm like, well, I don't want you to, but what alternative do I have?
I don't have nothing.
What do you want me to do? I say, no, you can't touch me, then I can't fly. Like, no.
Right.
So it's inconvenient. Everybody's in a bad mood. But the truth is now, everybody's in a bad mood. Road rage is through the roof now.
Yep, yep.
Everybody's in, bad moods. We can't have conversations anymore. So I feel like people, their disposition in the airport used to be off-putting and aggressive and abrasive. But now I feel like that's the regular world. I feel like everybody's regular disposition is abrasive and aggressive. So I just think that the world has now become what the airport used to be. And now I can't tell the difference between the regular world and the airport. unfortunately. And here's the thing about airports, too. They do not, that airline travel experience does not build character, but it does reveal character. So if you're an a-hole, that experience will turn you into a real live a-hole.
A rager.
You'll be a raging a-hole in front of kids, babies, priests, and nuns, old people. You're just an a-hole. You're like, what is wrong with this person? Like, they're in the airport. They weren't a-hole the entire time, but they had the facade on. They had their representative, all right, out there. But now you know this person is a raging a-hole in real life. And I try not to be. I hope I'm not. So in an airport, you have to check yourself. Right. This is intrinsic kind of check that I'm not gonna let this experience turn me into that person.
Well, the funny thing about that is that person that showed up that you were talking about also was late to the airport, was mad because he was trying to get to his gate, and then he got to his gate and they talk about the flight is delayed, and so he's even more mad. I just ran through all this stuff and tried to fight people in the parking lot because they were moving too slow. That's the exact same person that showed up late to the airport. That's why he's so mad.
That's been my experience now. So I think it's going to be that for everybody. So please don't be upset about it.
Well, I thought you handled yourself well yesterday, Rod, with all the trials and tribulations that you had to go through to try to get back to Austin. Yeah, man, I think you handled it well. Your text messages were very calm. Now, we didn't get to see your facial expression or how you were dealing with it, but it was a good text exchange, man.
Someone says crotchier. I think I meant crotchety, so I apologize. I said crotchier, which is an Urban Dictionary term. It is. I don't want to get into what it actually is. Good. But yes, I think I meant crotchety. I apologize. Yes. So kids, earmuffs. All right, let's get to practice reports about the Cowboys and the Texans. Okay, real quick, because we don't talk a lot of Texans. I wanted to get to this practice report because I thought it was from the first preseason game for the Texans, but apparently in practice, the Texans have had really complimentary reports about Damian Pierce, mm-hmm. who's going to win that starting. He's going to be starting running back for them. It's done. It looks like Damian Pierce will be the starting running back unless something crazy happens or they want to bring him along slowly. They asked Lovie Smith about him. He says that I'm going to let the preseason determine who the starting running back is going to be. Well, in that last preseason game, the running back out of Florida, the rookie, averaged over 5 yards per carry. Almost 9 yards per carry. I take that back. When you take away his longest run, which is a 20-yard run, he averaged like 6.7 yards per carry. But at Florida, he was highly productive, just underutilized, 206 mm-hmm. rushes in his final two seasons, 13 rushing touchdowns in 2021. Hard. I don't think there's any doubt about it. He's going to end up winning the starting running back job for the Texans, and you'll have more rookies. So Jalen Petrie is a rookie that's going to start. Yep. I believe the Texans are going to have more first and second year players starting on their team than anybody in the NFL.
Sounds like
and Davis Mills will be a
young
third player.
He's talking about what he's talking about here at the University of Texas. So you look at the running back roster that they have. They have Rex Burkhead, who's a veteran. He's been around for a while. Marlon Mack coming off that Achilles injury. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at Damian Pierce. And then you got Royce Freeman as well. Royce Freeman, someone that has been in the league. So you have a bunch of veterans that are there just in case the rookie is not up to snuff when it comes to game day. So there is a lot there because Marlon Mack was one of the best pickups for the Indianapolis Colts because he was huge on what we were doing in fantasy football.
You're right.
Until he got hurt. And then Jonathan Taylor took off, and then everything else is the rest of history.
You forgot about him.
And he was dealing with that. So there's going to be an opportunity there. And I'm looking at Lovie Smith a lot different than what I did when he was in Chicago. As you can see with Chicago, Chicago's just bad. They don't look like they want to win football games. They just look like they want to live back in the olden days, and they ain't made no adjustments since then. But when you look at what Lovie Smith is putting together, the way he made that defense so much better last year and now being the head guy, I think he understands there's some talent there. I can win with these guys back here. And so the thought process of them being tanking, I don't think it's going to happen.
I'm with you.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think they're tanking. I think they're going to win more. They're going to win, I'm going to say, they're going to win at least 4 games, and that'll keep them from being like the number one. They won't be tanking actively tanking,
And it's going to go down to that O-line that they've spent, 5-6 first-round picks on is going to be able to step up this year and improve and take another step forward so they can get Damian Pierce running. And with Damian Pierce, I think it's just I need to see more of him as a pass blocker to see if he's going to get the majority of snaps. He only played 5 snaps in the first preseason game or if he only had five carries in the first preseason game.
Right.
So I want to see just blocking wise, because in a team like this with a young quarterback, you're going to need somebody to come block for him anyway. So
it's true.
So that one is, I'll just want to see that, because they gave Royce Freeman the majority of the carries in preseason week one. Hopefully tonight we will see them give Pierce a lot more carries, and we'll kind of get to see him a little bit better, see how he blocks and see how he runs.
Yeah, and most of the reports that I'm getting obviously came out of camp practices. They say he's doing really, really well, and I think they want to invest in younger guys. But the Texans' running game was so porous last year.
Awful.
They averaged 1.6 yards after contact per carry. That was last in the NFL. They rushed for 10 yards. They had basically a 10-plus yard runs on 17 of 377 rushes. That also was the lowest rate in the NFL, less than 5%. You know, so they just averaged 3.4 yards per carry in 2021 as a team, period, in the running game. And they had 83 rush yards per game, which was also the lowest somewhere around there they've had since, I want to say, since the inception of the franchise. It's the lowest they've ever averaged in the running game. So it's just been really, really bad. And I think that they need a boost, because you don't want to put too much on Davis Mills' plate. And I know he performed really well as a second-year quarterback. You don't put too much on his plate as a third-year guy. They need more of a running game. It's actually remarkable that he accomplished what he did last year with such a bad running game. And he was still able to have one of the better seasons for the Texans there last season. So I think the Texans' offense will be much improved, but I'm not saying it's going to be good. Much improved with the defense. That's going to be the identity of this team. They were top 10 last year in turnovers for us, or takeaways, as Lovie Smith says. And the defense, how about this? They tackled opponents for a loss on 14% of the rushing attempts. That was top five in the NFL.
Right.
And they were top 10 in takeaways. That defense was actually
pretty good last year. That's what I'm saying. They're solid.
And they should be better this year.
And Davis Mills is a better quarterback.
He is. And
he's going to take care of the football. I know they were talking about he looked terrible the other day. That's part of it, right? That's what everything happens. But when the game is ready to go, I like Davis Mills, and I think he's going to be tougher than what people think.
I'm a big Davis Mills fan. I think he might be the most underrated starting quarterback in the league.
The only big major loss is that Machy is going to be out with, you know, dealing with cancer. So that is a big loss on that offensive end, that you added a wide receiver in the draft to go alongside Brandon Cooks to really help you out.
Yeah.
So losing that is something that's going to be a little bit harder, because they just don't have in the passing game as many weapons as they need to have.
Yeah.
They trade for a tight end that doesn't pass as physical, right. So he's not there either.
Gone.
So they've tried to add some pieces in, and it just hasn't worked out.
They're expecting big things from Nico Collins, who they drafted a year ago.
Yes.
So he's competing for a starting spot. They're expecting big things from Brevin Jordan, the tight end, too. So a lot of talk about him in the training camp. But you're right. Brandon Cooks is still their number one wide receiver there, but they need reinforcements. And so I think right now they may end up being one of the youngest teams in the league. Like I said, I think they have a lot of starters, first and second year players for the Texans. All right, real quick, Cowboys news, because I said we'd cover both. The biggest story coming out for the Cowboys right now, honestly, has to be the injury bug that has hit some of the big-time players, right? You got CeeDee Lamb. Okay, the CeeDee Lamb injury, they have not revealed the reason for it or what happened. He said it was clowning around.
Probably he's messing around.
He's admitted it was clowning around somehow.
Shocking that that would be the way that this player gets hurt.
Yeah, he's
probably
said that.
Doing something in the locker room that he shouldn't have been doing.
He said, quote, clown stuff.
Yep.
So I don't know what clown stuff means.
And that's our number one, just in case you were wondering. That's my number one.
Yes, your number one got hurt doing clown stuff. Knows you already have injury issues, because Michael Gallup, who, by the way, is running routes.
He's running
routes.
He's back,
but he's going to miss the early part of the season. James Washington got hurt early in the season, lost Amari Cooper, lost Cedric Wilson, and he gets nicked up because of clown stuff.
Yeah.
So
that's what the Cowboys season looks like right now.
And Noah Brown also hurt.
Thank you.
Yeah, wide receiver room has been just blasted by the injury bug and just losses, period, over time.
Somebody hit us up earlier and was saying that the Cowboys are like the Ravens of last year. Remember all those injuries the Ravens had last year?
Don't put that evil on them, Ricky Bobby.
Knock it down.
Put that evil on them, Ricky Bobby.
Well, no, and let's the Ravens had good running backs. I mean, Dallas is running some wide receivers out there.
So we don't have good wide receivers.
Just saying. They
but I'm looking
out,
at it like
they ain't
this.
Running out J.K. Dobbins.
I'm looking at T.J. Vasher. This is your time right now. All these players that are sitting there and having to figure out if they're going to be healthy, Noah Brown, don't know what you're going to get. Let me rephrase that. We know exactly what we're going to get from Noah Brown.
We know exactly.
Nothing. Nothing. And then you're trying to figure out if Simi is going to be the guy for them on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You're still trying to figure out what you're going to do with Pollard in the slots and if he's going to be in – you know he's going to be in the backfield at some point, and you're going to play him in the slot. Yeah. There's still a lot of questions that need to be answered for the Cowboys. But according to Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones.
And Dak.
They are in a better spot than they have ever been.
Dak
so,
reiterated earlier this week. I got the Dak quote. He says, we're in a better position now than we were this time last year. And like I said, I think he's talking about the overall team. Think about it. Last year, coming off the worst defense arguably in team history, right? You didn't know what you had with Dan Quinn. You didn't know what you had with Micah Parsons. You didn't know what you had with Trevon Diggs. Now you know what you got from those guys.
That's
yes,
exactly
you lost
right.
Amari Cooper, lost Lyle Collins, lost Grandy Gregory. I know it sounds like a lot.
I'm like, man, keep going.
keep going.
Front-line guys.
Yeah, no doubt. So maybe he's talking
starters.
About
starters.
There'll be a drop-off offensively where you won't be historically one of the greatest offenses in NFL history, but you have more complementary wins, like defense contributing and special teams, which hopefully they find a kicker.
I think he could also have a kicker.
Yeah, I think he could also be saying, too, I think he thinks the run game is going to be better. Incorporating Pollard and going, man, I don't have to throw the ball 90 times a game because there's nothing happening in the run game. He may be saying, hey, man, I think with Pollard being in and running two backs, maybe we'll get to run the ball some more and it won't rely completely on me even when I'm hurt last year.
Totally agree. Matter of fact, you just reminded me of this Zeke quote. Let me get this out here. I know we got to get to our Horn Top 20 countdown, but Zeke had this quote and it just got me titillated. And I'm like a Cowboys fan. When they asked Zeke about the running game, he said he unsolicited, unprompted, brought up Tony Pollard. He said, we're a tandem. He had no ego about it. He said, I'm not the running game and I'm not running back one. We are a tandem now. So either that's been communicated to him or now he has decided, no. Actually, it works better when we share this load. We're a more explosive pair. So they've been using two tailback sets. They've been using Tony Pollard in the slot. I'm hoping that continues. A quick nugget about that Ravens comparison, though. In 2021, according to Football Outsiders, the Ravens lost 191.2 adjusted player games to injury. That was the most since 2000. That's the most in 20 years. So you better pray and hope that the Cowboys are not venturing down that path. That would be oblivion.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
Yeah. That's why, let me, hold on, Patrick, get this ready. Thanks, Rod.
Don't speak that evil on the Cowboys, Ricky Bobby. Don't do that. Ooh.
Thanks,
that would be,
Rod.
Yeah, that'd be bad. All right, let's get into our whole top 20 countdown.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 6, the USC Trojans.
All right, welcome back to the Horn Top 20 countdown. It is number 6, the USC Trojans. And as we pointed out, we probably had them higher on our countdown than most of the preseason rankings. I think mostly because we've seen what Lincoln Riley can do up close and personal. Mm-hmm. And I'm a believer in Lincoln Riley. Sorry. And I think Lincoln Riley Hart is going to go there and have a lot of success. Nobody has raided the transfer portal like Lincoln Riley. That guy has weaponized the transfer portal. Brought in Caleb Williams, brought in Jordan Addison, Biletnikoff Award winning Travis Dye out of Oregon, got a tight end from Stanford. Those numbers are mind-blowing considering how many players that he convinced to come to USC via the transfer portal. They have talent there. I think that's a problem, maybe a couple of problem areas, maybe the offensive line, maybe on the defense, but I still think Lincoln Riley can score enough points to put them in contention to win the Pac-12.
Brought in another wide receiver from Colorado, Brendan Rice, brought in Mario Williams, who came with him to USC from Oklahoma. Then you start looking on that defensive side. I think he brought in 11 to 12 players on the defensive side of the ball that are transfers. I mean, he is trying to rebuild that. We've talked about it. They weren't a good team as a transfer. I mean, defensively last year, Alex Grinch, I think, is going to be able to dial up some things that other Pac-12 schools haven't seen, and vice versa. I think it's going to be one of those yin and yang. But I said it earlier, and I'm going to say it again. The way that he goes about it is going to be true meaning of all gas, no brakes. I think he's going to try to put up 60 every single time until that defense can try to get settled in.
Yeah,
that's the only way to go. Because when you got your – the thing that everybody needs to understand, they got a quarterback.
They do, man.
That is it.
Yep.
When you get a quarterback, all things are good.
Everything falls into place right. out there. It's easy. That's right. The toughest part of the job.
Exactly.
The toughest part of the job is to find the quarterback, pick the quarterback. After that, everything is a little easier after
that. It falls into place. And just so everybody also understands, they got their left tackle is a senior. Their left guard is a senior.
Center too, right?
Red shirts, by the way. Okay. Red shirt seniors.
Yeah.
Left guard, red shirt senior. Offensive center. Redshirt senior, right guard, offensive senior. I mean, they've got enough that is there experience-wise that they're going to be just fine. I don't want to hear that 4-8 stuff because we've seen people, Big 12 champion last year, they improved quickly and they made it happen. So the Pac-12, I think USC is in the right spot. I think they're going to be competing for a championship.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at the schedule, first of all, they don't have to play Oregon, which is one of the few good teams in the Pac-12 this year. They do have to play Utah, but they get Rice before them, Stanford, Fresno State, Oregon State, Arizona State, Washington State before they play Utah.
Yeah.
That is a lot of games to try and figure out figure out your team and get those everybody who came in the transfer portal some more reps together. It's a lot to get in before you go, okay, we got to play Utah, we got to play Notre Dame at the end of the season.
Yeah. But you still got to – I will give more respect to Stanford.
I think Stanford's good. I think they're around where USC was last year, and they didn't bring in all these transfers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think anyone in the Pac-12 has a ton of talent right now.
Right.
Yeah, and you don't play Oregon until you – if they make it to the Pac-12 title, too.
So I think you've got a really easy path. If you can win a few big games – yeah, if you come out and struggle against Stanford, everything kind of can fall apart pretty quick. But, again, I think you can put up 60 against Stanford, and I don't think Stanford's going to put up 61.
No, I'm with you on that. And, you know, some people are concerned, you know, it's a lot of transfers. Like, how do you acclimate those guys? How do you, you know, start to build chemistry that quickly? How do you learn that personnel that quickly? And how do you learn how to utilize it and deploy it that easily? I think that's what Lincoln Riley's been doing as well, if not better than anybody else in college football. On the last 5 years at Oklahoma, all of us have been a little amazed, sometimes stupefied, at how he brings in a transfer quarterback like a Jalen Hurts and a Kyler Murray, and then they win the Heisman or go finalist for the Heisman, and then end up being a top pick in the draft.
Baker Mayfield, too.
If not a number one overall pick. Yeah, I mean, that's really impressive, and I have no reason to believe that it's going to fall off. There are question marks about, you know, because Spencer Rattler did underachieve.
Yeah.
Right? He did not meet expectations, and that was the first hand-picked quarterback by Lincoln Riley.
But is it very fair, but when you look at the story of Spencer Rattler, you can go all the way back to when it was QB1, the TV show.
I remember
you knew that that was going to be something that was going to have its ebbs and flows, so to speak. So I'm not going to put that all on him because the other hand-picked quarterback was Caleb Williams.
You're damn right. And it beat Texas.
And he showed up and showed out.
He showed up. That's damn right. Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. No question. No, I'm not down. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
like,
I know what you're saying. I know that's exactly
people
have
brought
said.
That up. I think the fact that he's been able to have so much success with transfer quarterbacks is actually going to trend and translate the right way to his time there at USC, and obviously weaponized the transfer portal and rated it as well, if not better than anybody in college football.
Yep.
All right, let's come back. We'll get into what it could end up being, when it's all said and done, the biggest story in sports of 2022. The fact that a Power 5 commissioner now on the record has said this. Something that we have been talking about and discussing has been common discourse for now going on 50, 60, 70, 80 years.
Come on, man.
In college sports, and now a Big Ten commissioner. And we got the Big Ten. I mean, they're the big dog now. In terms of the money, annual payouts, and big money, the Big Ten. I know the SEC on the field competitively can say they're the big dog, but we're talking about money and we're talking about brand and value. Oh, Big Ten got you trumped, SEC. And that commissioner has something to say that will change the landscape of college sports forever. We'll talk about that on the other side and other topics dealing with the NCAA. All that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
Woke up late, got up out of bed, tried to wipe my face, but I couldn't find my head. Yesterday, I lost my complexion. Looking in the mirror at a similar reflection. Precious.
512 Friday, right here on Ball Don't Lie. Who we jamming right now, Patrick?
This is Vallejo. They're playing Saturday at Buck's Backyard.
Oh, man. I love those guys, actually. Buck's Backyard is not that far from me, actually. It's like 15, maybe a 20-minute drive. When is it?
It says Saturday, Vallejo and Del Castillo. It'll be a fun show out there Saturday.
What time? I'm sorry, putting you on the spot.
My guess is Vallejo will go on around probably around 9 o'clock would be my guess.
You know what?
Depends on what the city ordinance is for them. You know what I'm saying?
Good point. I think it'll be inside.
You know what? I don't know, man. I'm not gonna say I'm gonna be there, but I ain't gonna say I'm not gonna be there. All right.
You trying to stretch out, man. You've been locked up for a couple days, man. You ain't been able to do stuff.
And wifey just left town. Wifey's just left. I'm gonna be a bachelor for like the next couple of weeks. So wifey just got on the plane today. I took her to the airport.
Oh Lord.
So that's why it's raining today.
That's why it's raining today.
Yeah. I think she's already in LAX, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I believe she's already in LAX. Female listener number one said Vallejo, one of her favorite bands as well.
Yep.
She said Vallejo had one of my favorite post breakup songs back in the day.
Was it Over You? I'm gonna guess it's Over You.
Female listener number one, is it Over You?
I may have spent 5 years touring with him, so I may know a lot of their stuff.
Yeah.
You can sing it right now. You can sing the chorus for us. Okay, real quick before we go to break here, because I know we're up against it. This is, I think, a huge story, and I think today, because of the Quinn Ewers news, it kind of hit the back burner a little bit. But Front Office Sports is reporting, gentlemen, that Kevin Warren went on HBO Real Sports.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when it's going to air because they didn't have details about when it would air. But they said he went on HBO Real Sports and says he foresees that the Big Ten Conference will have 20 members. So they're not done expanding.
They're not finished.
And they're going to pay players. So that's what he foresees. Remember, they just signed a $7 to $8 billion deal. Could be worth as much as $10 billion, 7 years. And it's a collaborative deal, much like the NFL, with Fox, CBS, NBC, and Peacock, and FS1. Everybody's on board. Ain't no fun if your homies can't have none. That's till 2030. And Action Network, they claim the Big Ten is not done expanding. And their sources say the targets are Notre Dame, Washington, Oregon, Stanford, and Cal. Harch, you went to Major League. You had to go to the league to get paid.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, you obviously were a highly recruited prospect in football and baseball. But what do you think now? Not NIL. This is different from NIL. He's saying, no, they're in
business. I'd be right here on the 40 acres.
You would have been.
I would have been right here.
You'd been a lifetime Longhorn.
I mean, it would have went through the process because eventually I would have got there anyway.
Yeah.
You know, if you go back and you start to relive some of the situations and you're looking at it and you're saying, yeah, I probably most definitely would have been here. And especially now what I know. About the 40 acres and how.
And the network. And the networking. Family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Family. And you know what I'm saying? I would definitely do it. And then you're going to tell me you're going to pay me? Oh, yeah, for sure. That's why that's why my son is working out right now. I just text him. I was like, dude, by the time you get ready to go to college, you're going to be part of this group too.
No question. And it's amazing.
It is.
And I think, you
full
know,
circle.
It reminds me of what legalized marijuana, recreational marijuana,
mm-hmm.
how it benefited from the medicinal marijuana movement. Because the medicinal marijuana movement was one of empathy, right? It's like, well, these people are suffering and they just need relief. Are you going to deny relief for these people? And people educate themselves on the benefits of marijuana and CBD, as opposed to the propaganda that existed out there about it's a gateway drug and all that kind of stuff. And then as medicinal marijuana spread all throughout the country, it was the way of desensitizing Americans to that something they thought was taboo at the time.
Yeah.
And now I think like 70% of Americans are on board with recreational marijuana. Yeah. And I think NIL was basically what medicinal marijuana was for recreational marijuana. I think NIL was that for paying players. I think now we'll be talking about paying players in a much more rational, sensible discourse because, NIL was basically the compromise of that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I can see it. And I'll say this for the Pac-12. If you hear this news come out today and you're saying Big 12's throwing grenades, that's a nuke.
Yeah.
Yep.
That is a nuke. You are not avoiding that one like a grenade.
Yeah.
Because that is, hey, we want to poach. We've already picked which teams we want. We're going to go talk to them, and we're going to tell them, do you want to play with the big boys, or do you want to stay over there?
And they're going to pick Big Ten because guys with their new TV deal, Patrick, so you're around. And they didn't mention the Big 12 teams, which is good for the new commissioner of the Big 12. Between 2025 and 2030, the last 6 years of this deal, every team is going to have an annual payout in the Big Ten of $100 million each.
Yeah, I don't know. That's, the game has changed completely, and here we go again. We're going back into this cycle, right, over everything that's changing, but it's getting caught up, right? These are things that have been done in the dark. Now it's coming to light, basically. So here we go. It's starting to fester up. They're trying to figure out, okay, we started this, and there's no legal ramifications for this NIL stuff. It's not even part of the NCAA. This is the other part of just completely taking it all away from them to where now y'all are non-existent. We're our own power brokers, so to speak, and now we just created the NFL, NBA, in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, to the point that Harsh just made, Pete Thamel did put out an article earlier this week that said the basically the power brokers in college football did have a meeting, and one of the topics discussed was essentially emancipating themselves from the NCAA.
Yeah.
So that is a topic that's being discussed. And Jack Swarbrick, it's the College Football Playoff Board of Managers, but Jack Swarbrick, remember the AD for Notre Dame, he says he foresees them emancipating and separating from the NCAA by the mid-2030s.
Yeah.
So he's saying, guys, in like 15 years, they're going to be separate from the NCAA, and I don't disagree.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap it up. Put it in the oven right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9 The Horn.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really
man,
good.
That's good. That is...
Pop a top again. All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Thank you guys very much for all of your great comments and participation on the Specs text line. You guys are always wonderful. We really appreciate it. You make this show. But also, if you missed any part of any of the shows, please go to hornfm.com and go catch up on the podcast page there. So great content today, great energy today. And yes, the big story, Quinn Ewers announced as the starting quarterback on the 40 Acres. All right, Harge, what's on tap for you this weekend, brother? What you got?
I am going to – my daughter's got a soccer match this weekend.
Is that the first, like, official match?
Official tournament this weekend. And then I'm also going to Houston. My cousin's turning 50, so we're having a birthday party for him. Man, just in case y'all didn't know, I did the music survey with Craig Wade today.
I heard it. It was good.
It was wild because Craig was like – it's so contemporary.
Yeah, go check that out. Light the Tower on the podcast. That was really fun to listen to. That was a good job. Yeah. I like that. All right, Patrick, what you got coming up?
What's up? Watch football. Astros are on Fox tomorrow. Watch all that.
Ooh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
What you got tonight?
We're going to talk some more shows. Yeah, back. Also, I'm a single man, basically,
that's right.
For the next week or so.
Everybody kept saying hashtag hall pass?
Yeah. No. I'm just going to watch all my guy movies and stuff
Get caught up.
Get caught up on all the guy movies and stuff like that. But remember, Revolution will not be televised. We're talking about right here on 104.9 The Horn. We love you guys. We do mean that. Take care of yourselves, but more importantly, take care of each other. Have a great rest of the weekend. Peace.